So it is my pleasure to begin today's series with Doris Montgomery and Kelly McCrory. They both, Crory comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, and Doris Montgomery is with the Iowa Nutrition Network, the Iowa Department of Public Health. So they are going to be speaking to us about the Iowa Food Assistance Program and some exciting activities that have been going on there. So come on up.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted a quick show of hands. How many of you here are very familiar with the Congregate Meal Program? Okay, so some of you, but not everyone. I didn't want to make too many assumptions. I'm the program manager at the Iowa Department of Health, and we are going to tell you a little bit about how we've taken one of our senior nutrition programs and applied some qualitative evaluation to it. The Chef Charles Club, as was the name of the program, was created in collaboration with the Department of Human Services, where food assistance, or what you might know as food stamps, anybody, the acronym now is SNAP, so I'll be using SNAP as the current name of the program. They have an education component to SNAP, and so the Department of Human Services gives the money to the Department of Health. The Department of Health works with the Department on Aging. In fact, for a while we shared a nutritionist to create this program that enhances nutrition education at congregate meal program sites. Now, the reason we do that is because SNAP Ed requires that you work with low-income individuals who are likely eligible for SNAP. And older adults are underserved in SNAP, just in terms of even participation, but in SNAP Ed, they're very much underserved. And so we're one of the few states that said we want to serve older adults in SNAP Ed, and one way to do that was to go into the congregate meal setting and take advantage of the fact that they were coming together for that meal. Now, the challenge is that Administration on Aging requires nutrition education at the congregate meal program. We are not allowed to supplant that. But it is minimal, so to enhance that education isn't a big leap. But this is kind of a typical kind of meal site. There's 455 meal sites across Iowa, many of them very rural, many of them small. Then we have our urban centers as well. And I kind of hesitated to show this because I didn't want it to look dorky, but our folks really do like to have a lot of fun. And those hats were made for our youth program, but our nutrition educators out in the field said, we would really like to have those. And so we have made a lot of just kind of fun activities for the seniors over the years. It started in about 2004 was the first time that we rolled out our program, and it is based on a monthly newsletter. And I tell you, to get out a monthly four-color newsletter is tough. You know, to write it, to make sure the content's good, to have it reviewed by RDs, to then get it to the printer, get it distributed, is no easy feat. The newsletter is about four pages. I'm going to slip. This is an instructor guide, and I think this is the unique piece with it. In addition to the newsletter, every month we create a step-by-step instructor guide so that they have ways of teaching the newsletter in an interactive fashion. And all of this is put online, and so the instructor guide is downloaded. It isn't printed out and sent to everyone. The other piece I wanted to mention, this goes back to the content of the newsletter, is that puzzles seem to be extremely popular. And we've been, you know, threatened with our lives if we take them out. But the unique piece that we do is the content of the newsletter is what you use for the puzzles. So you have to read the newsletter to get the content. We make those puzzles in every month to reflect the current content. We don't use bingo cards right now, but because it's mentioned in our survey instrument, I wanted to show you that we had kind of tried to kind of connect this with a lot of our other programs that we have for SNAP families, and we had a youth nutrition physical activity bingo card, and for a while we did use it in our senior program, but we need to update those, so we've kind of pulled back on that for now. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I asked Kelly McCrory from the University of Iowa to do this qualitative research. I'm going to be really honest with you. This was a small budget. SNAP-Ed was getting, we were trying to do more evaluation in SNAP-Ed, and we jumped right into some pre-post survey design. Big mistake. We did some real interesting analysis of that data, but we had sort of skipped over some good qualitative and process evaluation first to give us a sense of really kind of what that dosage was and what was happening out at that meal site. And so that's kind of, we had to step backwards, and that's what Kelly's doing for us.
Hi. A couple things about Iowa before we talk about what we heard in our qualitative research. Older adults are the largest growing demographic group in the United States. This is especially true in Iowa. We have the second largest number of olds, which is 85 plus in the whole United States. The poverty rate for Iowa is 65 plus in our state is 7.3%. And we have 455 congregate meal sites in the state that serve 41,337 older Iowans. So we have a lot of, we'll show a map in a minute, but we have a lot of sites serving a lot of people. 64% of these folks are over the age of 75, 21% of them are at high nutrition risk, and 78% of meal sites qualify for SNAP-Ed. So here's our service delivery map, or their service. So you can kind of see this one area in the middle is Des Moines, a highly urban area, sorry. Up in the, you've got Waterloo, which is another up in Black Hawk, and then along the Quad Cities, along the Illinois border. Those are our more urban, for as urban as we get in Iowa. The rest is very, very, very rural. So what about Iowa specific? We're third in the nation in percentage of people 85 plus, fourth in, for people 75 plus, and fifth for percentage of people age 65 plus. So what we found over the course of time is that the people coming to the congregate meal sites aren't 65.1 years old. They're 75, 80, they had some in their 90s, very older people. So what did we do? We did interviews with meal site managers, the educators, and the area agency and agency nutrition directors, and there's a difference between the meal site managers and the educators. Meal site managers are the folks who are in charge of that congregate meal site. They get the meals together, they get the place staff, they order the food, they do the menus, they get the to-go meals for people who come and pick it up, and they do the serving. And then you've got the educators. The educators come in to the site and do the education, so there's a little difference between what their jobs are. An educator can go to quite a few sites. The meal site manager is pretty much specific to one. We also did some focus groups with Chef Charles participants. So we interviewed five area agency on aging nutrition directors, one nutritionist. We had 10 congregate meal site managers who teach Chef Charles. We did those in person. And we had six Chef Charles educators where we went in person with them also. We did a semi-structured interview. We wrote it in collaboration with Doris and her department. It took about 30 minutes per average on interview, and we observed their lesson in the group interaction. So I did this. I'd get there a little early, introduce myself to the meal site manager or the educator. They'd tell me where I could and could not sit, because people have definite places where they like to sit at congregate meal sites. I'd take a seat, introduce myself to the people around me. They pretty much didn't tell them I was an evaluator. They told them I was there from the University of Iowa. University of Iowa has a very strong football team, the Hawkeyes. So people are like, oh, the Hawkeyes, we love the Hawkeyes, or they know about our hospital. I've been to your hospital, it's wonderful. So it took away a little bit of that, someone's here to check on our educator type thing. So some of the questions we asked the nutrition directors were, what's your perception of the Chef Charles program? How does the program fit with your agency's mission? What client value does it bring to your agency? What value does it bring to your clientele? Are you personally involved in the Chef Charles program? And what do you see as your role as Chef Charles? Do you have ideas for enhancing or improving the program? And what do you see as the future of it? So some of the things we heard from them is the program definitely fits with their mission. Their mission is to keep older Americans healthy and in their home, and this is right up their alley. They wanted to continue to consider entertainment plus education. As you saw with the hats earlier, there's always something fun going on in a Chef Charles site. Sometimes some of the challenges they've had is how to staff that educator position. That some people are really comfortable cooking the food and serving the food, but not so comfortable standing up and talking about nutrition. Some of their meal site managers, like I said, were not real comfortable presenting it. They enjoy doing it, they don't love it. The instructor's guide is critical to their success. Even if they're not comfortable presenting, the fact that they've got a guide they can follow and it's very step by step by step, and they can get it in advance and prep for it, it takes down that anxiety a little bit. And then some of the required skills they thought that would they needed to see in people to have them be really effective was interested in nutrition and health, creative. They do a lot of, there's a lot of activities you can do in the instructor guide, presentation skills, and having some confidence about standing up in front of people. What we heard from one of the nutrition educators was seniors trust the source of information. If it's coming from the Iowa Department of Public Health, they trust that. So meal site managers and educators, we had basically eight domains where we asked questions. We asked about the newsletter, the instructor guide, the physical activity, the participants who are coming, food assistance program, incentives. Sometimes they would have incentives they'd pass out, communication, and personal experiences. The communication was with the Iowa Nutrition Network. So what do we hear from them? They use the instructor's guide at all sites. This is the key piece for them, is having this available. The format's very user-friendly, the reading level is appropriate. The recipes are really easy to prepare for the most part, but they really prepare simple recipes like a dip, something they don't have to cook. So some of the recipes that we sample would really entail putting something in an oven, pot, that type of thing. The meal site managers wanted something I could get started with it quickly. And 3 out of 10 of them demonstrated physical activity exercises with the group. So from nutrition educators, we heard that 5 out of 6 prepare a recipe every month, and that they're only responsible for the education piece, so they have that time to prepare a recipe. 5 out of 6 stated that their participants liked the recipe, and one said our participants were really picky about ingredients. Props are easy to use and incorporate, and all felt comfortable with introducing physical activity. And there was some hesitancy talking about SNAP. And we heard this from really both groups, that, you know, I know my people, and no one here is eligible for that. Or I don't really want to bring that up with folks, I'm afraid I'm going to offend people. So there was this hesitancy around bringing up SNAP issues. A lot of times they would invite a local Department of Human Services person to come in and talk about it, kind of pass it over to someone else to talk about. So what do these folks need, these educators and these meal site managers? They need more information on drug interactions, food allergies, salt and sodium, and diabetes. Everywhere I went, type 2 diabetes was rampant. And people were being diagnosed at 75 years old. So all of a sudden they're having this diet change. A little funny story about salt though. They had just done a salt lesson, and one of the educators, we had them give us success stories every month, and one of the educators was saying that there's this group of guys that come every month and they sit there and they're kind of the goofballs in the back of the classroom, and they're always trying to, you know, yuck it up back there. And she had done a whole thing about salt, and the next month she came in and she started talking about, you know, what did we talk about last month? And they're like, oh, we talked about salt, now we need to reduce our salt. Well, when they got their stuff, these three guys, like, collected all the salt shakers, and they're like, ready to really salt their food. And they caught her eye, and they're like, look at us. And she's like, and it was like, they knew not to. They were doing it to kind of yank her chain, basically. But to her, the message got across. How to encourage behavior change. I've lived this long, why change now? I heard this over and over and over, where people would say, you know, why are you expecting me to change my diet now? Increased confidence to talk about SNAP benefits. So seniors want to know what to do today to be healthy tomorrow. So what's most valued? That Chef Charles is helpful for seniors. The newsletter is very colorful and attractive. When they pass it out, the first thing everyone does is turn it over. I watched it site after site after site and go to the puzzle. They love the puzzle. They see seniors as engaged and interactive, and the information is useful and up to date. Something I would Doris talk about, the participant focus groups, those were done by someone else besides me.
So as Kelly mentioned, we were investing more money into an outside nutrition educator model than we were when a meal site manager did it. And so we wanted to do some additional qualitative work and look at that model more closely. And so we hired an individual to go out and do these focus groups for us. And we heard some comforting things, kind of reinforced what the folks had told Kelly. The fact that we were designing our newsletter and program around the health belief model and the sociable cognitive theory seemed to kind of work well for us. It's those kinds of things that we were after in terms of self-efficacy and trying to connect it to health problems that they had were working. It also helped us kind of decide, you know, going through this hassle of food tasting, actually tasting a recipe every month, you know, is that worth it? Do they value that? So these were things that we were looking for. So now here's my dilemma. 455 meal sites. We're only serving right now at about 120 with this interactive model. there's like another bunch, maybe another 3,000 individuals are being served in an area agency that are just printing off the newsletter and passing it out on their own. That's no SNAP ed money doing that. So what I've done is I've hired an expert in nutrition education for older adults to do a review of newsletters as well as all the qualitative work that Kelly and Mary did. And she's then made a set of recommendations to us. And what we're going to do now that we have a new funding stream is the area agencies on aging in Iowa are collapsing from 13 to 5. And we're going to take this opportunity to double our investment in nutrition education and hopefully provide money to each of these area agencies on agencies and use a little bit more of a train-the-trainer model, trying to enhance the quality of education provided by the meal site manager. Cross your fingers. We'll see how that goes. We have a few great ones, but we really do have some work to do there. So we're still kind of trying to figure that out, you know, who's going to teach. And we've got other quantitative data to look at. We've just got 1,300 surveys in from a post-retrospective. We're going to be doing a pilot study this year that we got funded by our Wellmark to do, to look at how we could streamline this, make it cheaper to not only produce, but print and teach. So that starts in January. So anyway, we're doing a lot of effort on this, although still, it's, I would think by many standards in your states, it's a pretty low-cost program. I think we're spending about $100,000 right now. We're going to try to double that and get it up to $200,000. And I just have to show you one of these, this last little thing here. The guy in the middle would not participate in Chef Charles for a number of months when Gail would come to the meal site. And then she kind of warmed him up. I mean, you don't come to Gail's class and not kind of, you know, have to participate eventually. But like 2 months ago, this group just surprised her when she showed up, and they wanted to do a thank you. And they performed all of the physical activities that she had taught them over the years, including some line dancing, and this gentleman particularly dressed up for her. And at the end, it was kind of a luau theme, I guess, and they sat her in a big chair and dressed her up. And at the end, as she was leaving, they were doing a prayer over the meal, and they said, "Thank God for Chef Charles. It reminded me I can still move."